When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Briar moss can curse in 5 different languages. We mostly curse in English, so if you're listening around English speakers, you may want to make sure they're okay with curses.
Welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading Chapter 2 of Street Magic.
You almost said Briar's Book.
You almost said Briar's Book.
I mean,
well, I mean, Briar's it is Briar's Book.
Today,
yes, it is Briar.
Today we're reading Chapter 2 of Briar Book, Briar's Book Part 2.
So grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's catch a kitty.
Meow!
Meow.
Meow.
Chapter 2 opens with Briar coming in to talk to Rosethorn. And we see that she's on the roof, absolutely surrounded by plants. Because they are trying to prepare, like, basically... they're trying to help, similar to Dasha's book, they're trying to help people who've been in drought and stuff. And so they're making these plants go through the full growing cycle in a matter of days. And so they're all like, the plants are basically like my 13-year-old student who claims she doesn't drink coffee, but surely does. If you caffeinated plants, this is what they'd be like. So he tells Rosethorn about his adventure, and she's like, oh, well, somebody's gonna have to train this mage. So if you can't find a stone mage, then that's gonna be you. And the person who's going to look for a stone mage, P.S., is going to be you. And he's like, WTFY. And she's like, well, it's part of the mage council rules, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Probably should have mentioned it.
Well, how are they going to find me when I'm way out here? And she's like, well, the closest member of both of those councils. Oh, that's right. That's me.
Found you.
To which Briar's like, oh. Fuck. Because Briar does not mess with his mother. So Briar basically determines, okay, I'm gonna have to figure out what to do with this kid. In the meantime, Evie has cats. Has 7 of them, I believe. She leaves early so that she can go get her money before
Briar shows up.
Yeah.
Or so she thinks.
And of course Briar's already thought of this and is like, ah, I'm going to have to get there early.
Yeah. But
when Evie is leaving, the guy pays her $5 doves instead of 1, and she's leaving, and then Briar shows up. And she's like, fuck no, and gets the hell out of there. And being a local, she knows how to navigate both the Sook and the town. And so she goes up on the roof, and he chases her up on the roof, and he's like, ah, fuck, I didn't even notice that the roofs are basically another street. And he runs after her along the roofs, and he runs into various people who are annoyed with him because he's clearly a foreigner. But in particular, one woman with a wash basket. And Briar's basically given up chasing Evie at this point because he realizes that she's going to Old Town, which is like built into the side of a mountain and smells terrible, but also he'll probably suck at navigating it.
Well, luckily before he started chasing her too, he threw a vine of power around her so he can find her anywhere, just like Sandri was able to do with Posco.
Yeah. So, so he's like, eh, I'll find her when I need her. And tells this lady, can you just tell me how to get down? So she angrily throws him a ladder and then tries to dump her wash water on him. Mostly misses. Briar finds his way back home. And on his way back home, Evie follows him back. She's rather surprised that he just seems to have given up after chasing her all this way. And Briar's also trying to figure out, well, how the hell am I gonna like track her down? And then he sees the little girl across the street who has a kitty and is feeding her kitty, and he has a grand idea. But before some of that happens, we also have to deal with the vipers, because the vipers were also following Briar and Evie. So we need to know that they're still around. They still want Evie because Evie is mage, apparently. And yeah. That's it. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talked about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. What did y'all like about this chapter?
Well, I had a dislike. With this chapter, I still can't get over the fact that after 4 years, they still haven't taught them all the fucking rules. And they're just like, oh, I guess we never explained the rules to you guys, did we? And I'm like, that it just doesn't add up, doesn't make sense. They're very thorough teachers and everything else, but this one thing, this rule, like, oh nope, it just slipped our minds. It doesn't make sense to me. I think it's dumb. I think it's very dumb.
You think the rule is dumb or the way she wrote it?
Both of it. Both. Like, it just seems like out of nowhere, like, oh, I forgot to mention this before, so I'm gonna just slip this in now. And then the whole rule is really stupid too, especially when Rose Thorne is talking about, oh, well, you're going to have to teach her like academics and different rocks and magical applications and astronomy and reading and writing and mathematics. Like, I wouldn't want a 14-year-old teaching me all these different things. Like, he's barely learning it himself. And now he's going to be teaching me it? Doesn't make sense. It's really dumb.
So I don't think the rule is dumb. But perhaps maybe the way it's like phrased to us is poor. Because I think I kind of figured out what the deal is. It's if somebody has magic that like, and they're not properly trained, they pull a Triss and destroy entire towns and shit.
I get that. I understand that a person that doesn't know that they have magic needs to be trained. Yes, I agree. I fully agree with that. But saying, oh, well, you discovered said person, so now you're the one responsible for it. Like, there's other mages in town, I'm sure. They can take care of it. He's 14. He's barely a mage himself. And he doesn't make sense. And them not telling them the rules, you would think there would be like one of the first things they say. Oh, there should be like a little pamphlet or a flyer. Like, oh, you found out you're a mage? Here, read this. This is all the basics.
Well, the point is that somebody has to be responsible for making sure that a person receives training. So if you are the person who realizes that somebody is a mage, then you have to take on some responsibility in that realm, which could be taking them to somebody else who is prepared to train them or training them yourself.
I get that. But then Rose Thorn is basically like, oh, well, you found her, so go chase her down. I'm not helping you. Fuck you, basically. Like, really? He came in and was greeted by all the plants, and it says, if he forgot any one of them, the plants would droop until reassured of his affection. Like, aww, the cute little plants. You gotta pet all of them or they'll be sad. It's so cute.
It's like having a pet. They want all of the attention all the time. So,
in the last chapter, in our last episode, you compared the way the plants treated Briar to like dogs coming for pets.
Yeah.
I really like that in this chapter, Evie literally makes the same comparison except with a cat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Of course she does it with a cat though, right?
Well, yeah, because she has seven of them.
She's a crazy cat.
Cats are the superior animal.
She's a crazy cat.
Dogs are too goddamn needy.
My next one that I liked, I try to be this when Briar's like, oh, Rose Thorn's now 2 inches shorter than he is. But Briar always thought of her towering over him. She still did in learning and power. And me being a short person, I like to think that I do the same to people sometimes as well. So I like that one.
It's not about the height. It's how you carry it.
And how furious you can get at certain fictional topics.
Yes. Whenever he's being harassed by the lady up on the roof, and he just tells her, the next one who asks me if folk here are friendly, I'll send them to you for a blessing, he retorted as he swung his leg over. The God's sweet day to you and for your charity. Oh, you sassy little thing. You're so funny. And then whenever he's climbing down the ladder and he's just mumbling to himself like, yeah, Rosalind, I'd love to travel. I can learn all kinds of languages and be insulted by him. And I can ask civil questions and people will run away. Travel will be just the thing. Like, I do this to myself all the time. Like, somebody pisses me off and I just mumble to myself like, just like this. I'm like, this is just so great. I love this. It's awesome. People suck. I hate them. I had one more. Sorry. All the cat comparisons. There's so much cat comparisons in this chapter. And it's so cute. Especially the part where Evie had seen that the lady tried to dump the water on Briar, and she compares, says that she was surprised that he didn't like shake himself off and then start cleaning himself like a cat. It's like,
I had completely forgotten that Evie compares Briar to a cat, because I didn't like where Briar compares Evie to a cat, and he's like, I see Kitty has come home to roost or something like that.
Made Kitty curious.
That's what it is.
And so he goes to get, I bet he's going to go get food to put out for the cat, just like the lady did.
You know, I didn't even realize till just now that, like, she's the one making most of these cat comparisons, and obviously she would.
Yeah, she has seven cats.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It tracks.
Now, if we would have read this chapter before I got my cat, I would have tried to convince Malia to name the cat Mystery, just like her cat.
So I really like that Briar makes sure Evie gets paid. he's like, no, I'm gonna hang back and wait to make sure she gets paid, because I don't want to like go, I don't want her going without a meal. And I noticed that when she gets paid, he pays her five instead of one, which is exactly the same as the fisherman gave to Posco in Magic Steps. He says that he'd give Posco a silver crescent, and then he gives Posco five. I could be wrong about that, but
no, I'm pretty sure you're correct.
That's correct.
Because I caught that as well. So,
and then of course we have the return. Like, it's not as obviously specified here, but we have the return of pay your mage as well. Reflexes he'd not needed in years when he's leaping out of the way of the wash water. And that Evie observes his clothes fit as if they are made for him and no one else, which I bet they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thanks to Sandra.
Mm-hmm. Boy, not only does boy have money, boy has Sandra.
I really liked just throughout the chapter how Briar is smart from experience. It felt like a detective novel in the beginning. Like, you see Briar's point of view of like, you know, I'm going to go back to the marketplace. I'm going to find Evie, but I'm going to wait until she gets done with her stuff, so I don't take any money from her, and I'll get there early because I came there late last time, so she won't suspect me to be there early. And it's like all these like gears just running through his head of like how like to approach this in the best way possible to like lessen the effects on her and to be more successful for him. Very cool. He knows exactly what Evie's like because he's been in like her situation before. I don't know. It was very smart, very considerate, and kind of like the back and forth, you know, after Briar says all this about going there early to find Evie instead of late, you switch to Evie saying like, I'm going to go to work early because I saw him late last time. Like, just confirming that what he is saying is true and will work. Very, very, very interesting writing, and it felt good. The guy who hired Evie to polish the rocks, his neighbor, just fucking telling it how it is yet again. Mm-hmm. Just being like, just little jabs at him, like, oh yeah, you're definitely paying her out of fear, right? Because she might be a mage, and you've been kind of stiffing her for the past however long you've been paying her. Like, yeah, I see what you're doing. You ain't slick.
Yeah, you could tell that he didn't want to pay her that much because he was smiling like his teeth hurt. Like, here you go. I don't want to pay you this, but here.
Which is such a shitty thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly this man is making probably a very considerate amount of money compared, especially compared to what he's paying her.
Those are the first ones that sells, he said. Mm-hmm. All the ones that she messes with. Those sell automatically.
And the neighbor says that he sells them for more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so he's making a killing, and he wants to pay her just one usually.
Yeah. Shitty. What a butthole.
Here you go.
I actually interpreted that smile not as like him not wanting to pay her that, but as him like being afraid that she was gonna take it out on him that he hadn't been paying her enough.
Yeah, I think he knows that she's a street kid, so any money that she gets, that she won't care.
But if she's a mage,
but she took off running, so he doesn't think that she's a mage, and he was there when she ran, so
I think that he is aware that someone else someone else thinks that she is a mage, so he's like kind of covering his ass and being like, in case you are a mage, and if you ever decide to be like come back and be like, I remember you when I was a street kid and you used to pay me one penny for the work I did, like, she might come back to him out of spite or revenge or something. So I also got fear out of that. Like, he's not doing it to be a good person, he's doing it to cover his ass. I also liked, one second, the travel quote that we kind of already talked about. reminded me of France a little bit. like, you know, you love to travel, you know, learn new languages, be insulted by people. It reminded me when I went on a school trip to France and I tried to share a pizza with my friend because she was very small and wouldn't finish a whole pizza. So we tried to split a pizza at a restaurant and we got yelled at by the staff because you're not allowed to share a pizza. It was very, very weird.
What?
I have very strong feelings on the French.
And none of them good.
None of them good. So I actually had a pen pal when I was a lot younger, who lived in a little seaside village in France. And so when we did our senior trip and we took a travel to Europe, I had basically told her, hey, I'm going to be in Paris, like, on this date. Can you make it up so we can actually, like, meet in person and hang out for a little bit? Now, she's French. She speaks French. She is from France. But her Americanized English was superb. And I mean, and that's part of because of the fact that we constantly talked. And so we're fucking chatting her, right? Like, you know, like you do. And this fucking guy comes up and basically says something along the lines of stupid Americans. Got up and just got in his face and was just giving him what for. And I have no idea what is being said right now, but I can tell there's a whole lot of just shut your fucking mouth, I'm gonna end your life. We talked about a handful of mine, but I just want to mention I love the fact that the entire roof is green. Like, as someone who just likes plants, it makes me happy that the entire rooftop is just green.
Yeah.
Tell these weeds to calm down. I love that Briar just flat out fucking insults them in the most affectionate way. Tell these weeds to calm down.
I'm surprised that they didn't, like, start cowering in wet affection again. Like, are you sure you love us?
I think that's a little bit like when I tell my kids that I'm taking a day off because I don't want to deal with them. And it's actually because I have a doctor appointment or whatever.
Yeah.
They'll be like, where were you? I'll be like, I was just sick of you. I decided not to come to school.
Damn.
What a mean teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I also love the don't go playing the country bumpkin, my buck. I love that he still tries to play stupid and Rosalind has gotten to the point where she's like, I'm just going to continue to call you out on this. Like, because it says with amusement. So, like, they've done this a lot. And she just finds it funny now. Four people in the world had the ability to make him sorry he had crossed them. I'm also amused that Lark didn't make that list.
Yes!
She's too soft.
Yes! She's too soft.
She wouldn't hang in upside down in the well. The rest of them would. No question.
Well, you know, I don't know if like Sandry or Daja would hang him upside down in the well, but...
Oh, they totally would.
I think they would give him a thrashing.
They would give him a thrashing. I don't think that's the thrashing they would give him. I think Sandry would just, like, tie him up in his own clothes, you know?
You gotta play to your strengths.
Yeah, Daja would literally just knock him upside the head with her staff. And Triss might hang him in the well, but if she did it, she would do it magically. And just, like, get a wind and, like, just drop him down the well. Be like,
yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Lark
Throw
would
the
do
whole
that.
Whole boy away.
Yeah. Lark would be, I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm not mad.
That's worse. That's worse. Arguably, that is worse. We talked about the smile. Jeez. Briar gritted his teeth and did the jumps that were necessary, but he wasn't happy and he meant to discuss his unhappiness with her at length when he caught her. This one's an interesting bit of world building, I think, is the she's kind of thinking about Briar, and like he had said he's a mage. All the mages she'd ever known, magic workers, healers, and hedge witches, were adults in their mid-20s or older, very full of themselves. People who were younger rarely claimed the title, but he said it as casually as if it were his name. Like, I love that kind of, we see such a weird growth from Briar, because Briar was like the one who was like, nope, fuck y'all, I am not a mage. And now he's saying it like, yeah, that's, it's as simple as, oh, I have brown skin, or I have green eyes. It's a part of who I am. And I love that change. Evie, when she's watching as the vine comes down and starts loving on him, she's like, what is this shit? The fuck is that?
She thought it was a snake at first. And then when she realized what it was, she's like, oh man, I wish that was a snake.
That would be less terrifying.
Much easier to explain to my brain.
Yeah.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme that I found was chase. Obviously, Briar chasing Evie. Evie eventually turning around and chasing Briar. The Viper's chasing Evie and Briar at the same time without them knowing. Also, the fact that the person that would have to chase down Briar to, you know, enforce the mage's law of, you know, teaching the kid, it would be Rose Sorn. So Rose Sorn would be the one to chase.
Didn't have to chase very far.
Yeah, I think Briar.
Gotcha.
Briar knows that would not end well.
No,
he would not want to do that.
No, she would do worse than just hang him in the well.
Yeah,
way worse.
You do not want to cross that one.
And it wouldn't even be like her, like really her choice. Like she would kind of be forced to do that, which sucks. But she'd do it.
Yeah, she would. She has a job and a responsibility, and that would be one of them. Mm-hmm. She would have to hang her poor boy that she loves in the well.
Oh, she'd do way worse than that.
Oh yeah, she would. Yeah. But
and the last part is that now instead of having to chase Evie anymore, Briar is gonna make her come to him. So that was my theme.
That is exactly how you catch a wild animal.
Make them come to you.
Which makes me like think about the comparison between Briar luring Evie, and which we'll probably talk a little bit more about in the next episode, but Briar luring Evie versus how Nico got Briar to Lightning Circle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did similar because he also like lured Briar in with food in a way, but I'm interested in examining further like Briar with Evie as compared to Nico with Briar and Rose Thorn with Briar, and sort of how that relationship develops and how he kind of like coaxes her into this world that she's not a part of. And for that matter, like I feel like we could even say like Nico with Triss as well, because Triss's life doesn't have as much of a direct comparison to Evie's, but she was also this like not wanting to be part of this and kind of had to be drawn in. Whereas Daja and Sandri were kind of like, oh, you can come here. And then as soon as they had the opportunity, they're like, say what? I can do this? Fantastic.
It'll be interesting to see the parallels there.
Yeah.
My theme was roots. We talked about this in Daja's book, obviously, and then we talked about this in Briar's book, but I feel like a lot of the same kind of things that we saw in Briar's book are coming back. Briar making sure that Evie gets paid because he knows that experience. Leaping out of the way of the water and that they are, that these are reflexes he's not needed in years, but they're still kind of there. We get the same, we have like the repeat of Briar not wanting to go into like the poor part of town because it smells terrible, because he's not used to, like, now he's used to like the nice oil lamps with the herbs in them.
Which is funny because in his last book, he literally went down into a sewer. You'd think that would be worse, but it's fine. That's fine, but he can't go into another part of town.
And he didn't like the way the sewer smelled.
But he literally went into it. This one, he's like, fuck that. Nope, yeah, it smells too bad.
It's been 4 years. Yeah. He's gotten soft.
I was going to say, that's it's fair. Not only been 4 years, but again, last time, he had a guide to get him through the sewers.
That's true.
So it was get in and out. Yeah. With this, it's a get in, get lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it does not specifically mention that he is worried about like getting lost, but I feel like there's a decent chance. I mean, he doesn't even like notice that people travel across the roofs. Put him in like some weird maze of ancient houses. But yeah.
My theme was the exact same as Molly's.
Well, you should have spoken up faster.
That's fine. Now let's argue again.
Angry.
How dare you?
Did you have anything to add?
Not really.
I was going to say mine was very similar. because, no, really, you've got Ryder relying on all of these instincts that he hasn't had to use in this entire time that he's been at Winding Circle. But I know that we touched on that last chapter in a different way. But yeah, no, it really is just him kind of being back in this mindset of, okay, what would I have done 4 years ago? So it just, yeah, having to go back to where he came from, pretty much.
Part three is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
My theme is actually to be considerate, because Briar makes sure he doesn't cost a fellow street rat any more meals. He's a good dude. He wants to get, you know, more info about Evie, see what she's doing, but he doesn't want to make her lose her job or definitely miss a meal. He knows what that's like and is being very considerate. So I want to be more like Briar and continue being considerate to other people.
And mine was the exact same thing. Whenever I need something done, I'm like, okay, I got to do this thing and I don't care what this other person is doing. My thing's important. One track mind, and I got to get that thing done. And then once I get the thing done, I'm like, oh shit, this person was probably doing something and I just fucked up everything for them, but I got my stuff done. Yay for me, but boo for them. Be more considerate as well.
Nice.
She was now 2 inches shorter than he was. Briar always thought of her as towering over him. No, I do this because I have a very big and loud personality. Part of it is because I am short, so I have to project myself a little bit. But apparently I'm abrasive and people don't like me being that loud and opinionated, go figure. So I have to do the opposite of this occasionally, where I'm not big because I hurt other people's feelings and get a talking to at work. So I need to not be so big and loud and opinionated. I need to kind of not tower over people.
Only sometimes.
Only sometimes. I don't need to do that all the time.
I wrote, there's more than one way to skin or catch a cat.
Aww, don't skin kitties.
Because Briar is like, this isn't working. I'm not going to follow her in there. But he figures out how to, he comes up with another way to do what he needs to do. And actually, come to think of it, in a way, Rose, Thorn, and Briar are doing that with the plant, because the people there are struggling with the plants. And so they come in and they're like, well, we have another way to help you get seeds and such. I think it's something that's good for me to remember when I'm doing something that's being difficult. Maybe there's another way to do it that might be easier for me. At the end of our episodes, we like to have an excerpt from the next chapter. So this is an excerpt from Briar's book, chapter 3. Do you think she listened? Asked a quiet voice in Imperial. Briar looked down into the house. Rosethorn had come back. She stood on the floor below. Dunno, he said in the same language. She ate. That's something. She'll probably perch close by all night to see if I put more food up and lay a trap for her. Rosethorn shook her head. She's even more feral than you were, she remarked. At least you had that gang. Oh, she's got to be ganged up, protested Briar. How else do you survive here? The look she gave him was half vexed, half amused. There are plenty of people in Shamur who don't belong to gangs, she pointed out. Briar gently removed the jasmine from his arm. Not if you're a kid from Old Town, I bet, he replied. Only way to be safe is with a gang. When people fool with you, they know they're fooling with your mates, too. He thanked the vine and sent it to its trellis. You manage without a gang now, argued Rosethorn. I'm a mage now, he pointed out. Besides, I have a gang. If the girls aren't my mates, who is? And you and Lark and Nico, Frostpine, Crane, that's my gang, he explained, naming the adults who had taught him and his foster sisters at Winding Circle. So what symbol? No, Rosethorn said, cutting herself off. I'm not going to encourage you in thinking like that. What's your next move with the girl? Briar sighed. Earth etiquette say the only stone mage in town is this Jebelu stone slicer up at the palace. I guess I better talk to him about teaching her. Good idea. Rosethorn reached into the pocket of her habit and produced a metal token. It'll take you forever to walk there and back. You remember where we stabled our horses? Get one of them. Briar nodded and accepted the token to show to the stableman. Thanks, Rosethorn. He walked by her, then stopped. Not sure why he did so, he turned back and kissed her lightly on the cheek. Oh, stop that, she said irritably, as he'd known she would. People will start to think I like you if you pull that kind of nonsense. Briar grinned. They already know you do, he said reasonably. I'm still alive after years in your company. He walked away before she could think of a cutting reply.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Or tell us what you think by emailing us at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
Find all of our episodes at readingcircletemple.com and find more sound clips by following the Reading Circle Temple on SoundCloud.
Never miss a post by following Reading Circle on Tumblr.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Facebook and join the Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
See our cats by following Reading Circle Temple on Instagram.
Or you can tweet at us at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. If you like their art, follow Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon and Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our music. Find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
So I wrote...
No one's going to go.
Go for it, Brittany.
Well, I went first on the first one, so you can go ahead and go. Goodwin, go.
Okay, all right, I'll go.
I was going to say, okay. Goodwin also went first on the theme.
Not the last
so.
One. It's oh. fine. I'll go again. Oh. It's fine. My magic, my personal magic is to be considerate of other people and how they feel. Maybe by not making them go first twice in a row.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.